author and travel writer Anna Marie. Now I've got to get her last name correctly here. It's Anna Marie Jehorek is joining us on Big Blue Radio today to talk about her travel adventures, especially in Ireland, and her two women's fiction novels, The Cottage on Lough and The House with a Georgian Door. Both are set in Ireland, and in addition to writing contemporary women's fiction, she's also doing a lot of work on her travel site. So you can go to pulloverandletmeout.com. Nancy, isn't that a cool name for a website?
I like that because I'm always saying it, pull over.
I know, get it, pull over. It's time for wine. That's what
yeah.
It is. But also go to Anna Marie's website, Anna Marie Jehorek. .com. That's Jehorek. Now, am I getting any of that correct, Anna Marie? And welcome.
That is perfect. I am totally impressed. That's awesome. You got it. Anna Marie Jehorek.
Okay. And the cottage at on Lough Key, because even in your books, you give us some information of, you know, how to understand all the terms, all the Irish terms in your book. So did I say that correctly?
You did, yes, and that's the fun part about Lough Key is because we say it, you know, lock and key, you know, so that's how I always remembered it.
Oh, that's smart, too, and both your books, that's interesting, The Cottage, and then you've got The House with the Georgian Door, so there's a bed and breakfast. It seems that you are drawn to Irish architecture, love stories, you're into love, romance, but also Ireland, so there's like this theme running throughout, but the books could be read separately. I know Nancy's got The Cottage on Lough Key, and I've got The House with the Georgian Door. So there it is.
Awesome.
Nancy, we could have our own monopoly going here.
Yeah, I had a cousin point that out to me. He's like, what's with the architecture? And I'm like, that was just purely coincidental. And I'm like, well, I might as well just go with it, you know.
Well, yeah. I know you live in North Carolina, in Raleigh, North Carolina, where we met you and your family, and that includes little two little pugs that we love.
Yes.
And,
yes,
you know, you do a lot of travel. What kind of started all of this? Was it traveling and then writing about your travels or the books? Which came first?
I've always liked to write. Even as a kid, I would, you know, write little poems or stories. But my Ireland books, my mother's family is from Ireland, and so I would go there pretty regularly back in my 20s, and this little village of Boyle in County Roscommon, and I always felt like it was a great backdrop for a story, and I would go back every summer and spend time. I had a great uncle that was still living at the time, or as they call him over there, he's a grand uncle. It's my grand uncle, and so I would go and visit, and I would stay at the same bed and breakfast all the time, and so I just... When I started writing fiction, I was like, there's a story there, and I'm going to use that as the setting. And that's kind of how that happened. Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, awesome.
Very
awesome.
Cool.
So you've traveled to Ireland. That is awesome. Nancy, you and I never got to Ireland, or the Isle of Man, which is where our family comes from. And we used to live in England. We went to Scotland and Wales, but we need to go back
never
now, Nancy.
To Ireland. I know. Because it's mystical to me, Ireland. Kind of mystical.
It is, and there's so much history there, and just everywhere you go, there's something beautiful and fascinating, and that's just such a beautiful setting.
Cool.
I want to go because of fairies. It all stemmed from a book.
Yeah.
We did an interview with an author. I need to go and look up the name of the book, but it was all about, she went around the world looking for fairies, like genuine fairies, and getting into the folklore of fairies. And Ireland, there's like bridges where the fairies and the trolls do live under the bridge, like little there's like fairy
the wee people, like, yeah,
you know. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. And I got all into
yes,
it, man.
My
like,
granduncle used to talk about that. He'd say the wee people did it. That's what the wee people, he'd say that. So yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
See, I want to go there just for that, because I why not, man? I don't hold anything that, you know, couldn't possibly be real. It could be. I think the wee people are around, you know.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. I know.
It is very magical there. That's, yes.
And, you know, and also what's cool is, you know, your bed and breakfast. So that's where you stay in a bed and breakfast over there. There's something really neat about the whole relationships. And that's something that you bring into your books too, is these women going through things in life. So it's kind of like a women coming of age, not just romantically, but for themselves.
Right. There's a lot of self-discovery, and the characters all seem, there's some event that's taken place and they're moving through it and taking on new challenges, and there's growth and there's relationships, and it is a lot of coming of age, but also just real life things that have happened and how they've dealt with them as individuals. Mm. So
I think it's like gathering strength, the women.
Yeah. There's a lot of that in there, and you're right. You're right. Mm. There, that, you know, kind of tapping into resources they didn't even realize they had themselves, you know. So
When you think about it too, going into the stories of each woman, let's kind of give everyone an overview. I know Nancy's got the cards. Your books read really fast, by the way. I want people to know
they're
so easy to read, and you get connected to the characters immediately and the place. It's like I love books that have a sense of place, and also just when you just connect with a character. But The Cottage on Lough Key, we don't want to give the whole story away. We're terrible about that.
Right.
So you get to do this part. Tell everyone The Cottage on Lough Key, and then we'll do The House with the Georgian Door, which is your second one, both out now.
Sure. Okay. So the lead Cottage on Lough Key, her name is Gemma, and she's American and lives in North Carolina, but her father's family comes from Ireland, and she has suffered a tragic loss. And she goes to Ireland to kind of heal. And while she's there, she ends up staying in her uncle's cottage, which is on the loch. And people come into her life and events take place. But it's all kind of as she's going through this grieving process. And then she returns home. And she starts moving on with her life, but then she goes back to Ireland the following summer. And then there's just a lot that happens to her, and it's kind of going through the grieving and growing process with her, because something happened. She's still in her 20s, so something has happened to her that shouldn't happen to somebody in their 20s. And so now she's left to carry on and deal with that. So, But
and
she does it in Ireland.
Everything's in Ireland. This is all about Ireland. I dig it. Now the House with the Georgian Door. Now you've got Nora Fallon, and so she bails London. She's not leaving the state. She's bailing London.
Right.
And a dude.
Yes. Yes. She's a little more mature, and she's got a little bit of a past, but she's taking stock of what's important in her life and who she wants to be. And so she leaves something that she knows isn't a good circumstance or healthy for her, and returns to where she grew up in Boyle. And she purchases this beautiful old Georgian home that was kind of in a state of disrepair, and she renovates it and turns it into the Cara Maith, which is Irish for a good friend, and that's the name of the bed and breakfast. And so the story kind of picks up with her. She's just about to open this B&B, and then the people that come into her life as well, and the characters that she meets along the way, and circumstances that play out. She's just kind of I kind of like her because she's not perfect, but she's kind of charmingly flawed, I always say. I like characters that have charming flaws. You don't want to despise them, but they, you don't want to make them too good to be true either. So,
And the thing too, they both are starting new careers, and I think that's the other part is
yeah.
they need.
Yeah, the kind of
know,
the turning a page, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Learning something new. So you've got to connected with Gemma, in regards to Gemma getting into photography for what you do as a travel writer.
Yeah, I do more photography than I ever. I've always had, I had the little pocket camera when I was a kid. I was always the family historian. I was the one taking the pictures. And so it just kind of carried on nicely. It segued into my travel writing as well, So I love taking pictures. So kind of decided that maybe Gemma should take pictures too. So.
Cool. And then, Nora's opening a bed and breakfast. That's a whole new thing, But
yeah.
She gets help. She has help with that.
Yeah.
But that's a big ordeal. It's just kind of cool because Nancy and I, we've been to, over 20 bed and breakfasts this year. It's like kind of crazy.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
That's a lot. and you get to know them all, well, you know, from traveling. You get to know the story behind the B&B and the people. And it's pretty much now majority of the B&B owners that we met this year are all on their second or third career. This is like kind of their, okay, close, getting towards retirement, but let's do this because, and couples that want to do it together or new couples, you know. So that's a lot of what we've seen, which ties back into the house with the Georgian door because it's all about that door.
And I
what's
have
behind
the
door.
I just love the Georgian. That is an architecture. I love the Georgian architecture. So, but also the setting for that, when I would go back every summer to visit my granduncle, he actually lived in the same three-room cottage that was built in 1830 that belonged to his great-great, whoever, grandfather. And it was very primitive. So it wasn't really a place I could stay. So I would stay at a bed and breakfast, which is called Glencairn House. And I became like family to the owners of that place. And in fact, one time they were booked up when my travel agent was calling to try to get me in. And when she found out it was me, oh, why didn't you say it was Anna Marie? You know, and so the next thing I know, they're putting me in the family wing of the house, you know? So I developed this fondness with them. And when I wrote this book, I sent a copy to, her name is Agnes Harrington. And I write about it in the back of the book. Give a little bit of
detail. Yeah, because you have photos of them even in the back.
Yes. And she is still, she's 91. And
wow.
I was supposed to go and stay with her. When she was so excited about the book, her granddaughter got in touch with me via email and put me on the phone like immediately. Because she wants your phone number. We talked. And so it was all set. I was going to go there back in April. And of course, then this year turned into this year. And so I didn't make it over there. But I do hope to get back. But I was going to get to go over and see her again. And she was so happy with the book. So that made me delighted because, you know, when you write something and it's an inspiration, you want to do it justice. You know, like she had run that farmhouse and won like farmhouse of the year over there a time or two.
Oh, cool.
And so it was just always such a beautiful setting. And I felt like I could go there and sip my tea by the fire and I felt like royalty, you know. So I wanted that as my inspiration for the house with the Georgian door that that Nora Fallon creates, you know. So
I dig that. I dig that. And now, I know, Nancy, now did you get into the architecture side on the book that you're reading, The Cottage on Lough Key?
You know, I like that part because it gives you that sense of place, you know? So I think it's a good detail thing to put into a book so the person knows that you're not sitting where I'm sitting right now. You're sitting in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear that because when I'm writing it, I'm like, I'm there, you know, I kind of isolate when I write and I have to really kind of be there with them while I'm writing,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. So,
you know, I think it's cool too, because, you know, especially this year, right? Books have always been an escape and you can go anywhere around the world reading a good book and, you know, you meet people, but you could be cozy with your cup of coffee, you know, especially now we're getting into winter, but also with this whole COVID thing, it's like we need to still go on an adventure. So you read a book, you know, watch YouTube things or listen to podcasts, watch things, but also reading, what is so cool about reading, and when it's done, you know, it's good writing, which you do, you're fast, but you allow us to have that room to co-create, to be able to, you know, see the character the way we want to see the character. You know what I mean? And that's a really important thing in writing, is to have that balance.
And striking that balance so that you're not giving so much description that you're not letting the reader picture it for themselves, you know? And so you want to give enough that they have a sense, but you don't want to overdo it.
Mm-hmm. That's the same with travel writing, isn't it? The same thing. You don't want to go too much, too crazy.
Right. You don't want to give too much detail. You want to help, you know, draw the picture, but you want them to, okay, now I want to go, right? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Now, you've written travel journals, too. One of them's on Ireland. I saw them on Amazon and on your site. And, again, Anna Marie Jehorek, it's J-E-H-O-R-E-K. And pullovernletmeout.com. So check them out.
Yes.
But on Amazon, I saw that.
Journals, Yeah, basically they're blank journals for when you travel, because that's kind of how I started writing. When I would go there, my very first trip, I wrote everything down because I wanted to remember. And so that's kind of a thing I do now. And just whether it be like a name of a restaurant or a song that was on the radio while I was there, you know, to kind of bring you back to that time, that moment in time. And so that was a lot of how I started writing the travel journals, kind of led to me becoming like a travel writer. And so it's the details. And so these are just the blank journals that you can get on Amazon that I designed. You know, they've got lines and nice little quotes at the bottom of the page, but just to inspire others who travel to take notes and remember where they went. You know?
Okay, so and also when you look at see, we got barking dogs here, too. I don't know if everyone can hear them, but
Yay.
We got barking dogs. You know, everywhere we go, people are going to hear dogs and cats and, you know, maybe a horse one day. You never know. But the other, so the other thing, too, what's interesting, you look at the travel journal. The other part of the reason why I bring that up is also in the house with the Georgian door. Nora, journaling is a big deal for her, but it's like it's a moving forward journal, not moving backwards.
Yes, and she kind of like she tries to in the beginning she's making sure it's not a diary but a journal, and I don't know why she felt that was important to make the distinction, but she wanted to keep record, and that's kind of how I am too. I want to write it down so I remember, so I can look back and say, oh yes, that's what I did, that's where I was, that was the date. So I think a little bit of me slipped into Nora there, you know.
Well, the journaling is important, but I think it's interesting how you just said that I don't know why she thought this and that. So you've got her like a character, like you know her. Like,
well, you do. You kind of get into their heads, and you start to, when I'm writing anyway, I kind of have to, I feel like I'm living with them because they're in my mind. And I don't always know where the story is going to take me, which is kind of cool because I'll all of a sudden be typing and then I'll get the thought and I'm like, oh, I know where this is going to go. And I didn't have that when I started out, you know? And so that as I spend time with the characters, I start to get ideas about what those characters would do or what could happen to them. So it's kind of, I love being in their head, you know?
Cool. Do you like draw, like when you do it, how do you do the visual part? Are you writing it down? Like, this is what the character looks like? Or do you have like a vision board, or like, do you look at pictures and kind of,
I'm kind of old school with when I'm developing characters, I'm picturing them in my mind, a little spiral notebook with the character's name on top and writing down so that say, for example, I mentioned someone's blue eyes and then 10 chapters later, I say they're brown. Well, I have that as a reference, like, oh, okay, they're blue, you know, so that kind of thing. And so I'm always taking notes. And if it's something I think that's going to be relevant down the road or just a minor detail, I'll write it down so that I don't, you know, because people are reading and in the moment, they're like, wait a minute, she said he had brown eyes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always taking notes as I go, but I'm just kind of picturing what I think that character would look like.
What would happen if you went through like a lot of magazines and you go, oh, I like that chin over there, so you cut the chin out, and then you go find some eyes, and then you go find a nose, and you glue it all together and make a new face.
You know, I have not done that, but I have written characters that I kind of picture somebody in my mind, whether it be someone I know or somebody I've seen on television or something like that. So sometimes I do kind of take little bits from reality and put them together.
Cool. Wait, the other thing, too, I wanted to touch on is the front covers. Your book, cool.
Yes.
I like them.
Yeah.
Art. You've got art on there. Miranda Brown.
I do. Yes. Now, Miranda is an artist I know. I also do Irish dancing. And Miranda, I dance with the adults, but Miranda is a college student who also danced at the same dance studio I danced. And she's an artist, and I approached her and asked her because I had a photograph of this is the house that I would stay at, the bed and breakfast, the house of the Georgian door. And she did a watercolor of that for me. So I put that on my cover. And then the cottage on Loch Key, another friend had painted. It's a watercolor of my great uncle's home there in Ireland. And it's a photograph I had taken, and it was done from that as well. So that one, I was looking, that was my first book, and I was looking for a cottage to put on the cover. And I had that picture, and I was like, wait a minute, I already have a cottage. So that's kind of how I got that one, yeah. And it, so that's very sentimental because that's my ancestral home over there. So
cool, very cool.
That's, yeah. I know. It's neat. Now, you say you do Irish dancing. Okay, so do you have, like, a playlist for your books? Like an Irish playlist of music, like Irish music?
Oh, no, I don't, but that's a brilliant idea. I know in House of the Georgian Door, I mentioned a few songs that Fathers was listening. I think he was listening to The Fields of Athenry. I mentioned that. That's something that they sing at the Irish football games. And so I think I mentioned that, but I don't have an actual playlist, but gosh, that's a great, that's a great suggestion.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Yeah. Cause it, you know, getting to me, like I would like to listen to some of like in the light in the background, you know, but then a lot of Irish music, you do want to get up and, you know, start tapping and
dance,
tapping the toes and doing the river dance.
Yeah. Know, all a jig or a reel. Yes, absolutely.
I know it's fun.
Happy music.
It is.
Yes.
It is. It's interesting when you look at Scottish music because a lot of that music came with like war cries. You know, they were battle songs a lot of times. And the dancers, I don't know if it's the same with Irish dancing, but the dances, the Scottish dancing was actually like they were doing it over, like the footwork was, they used to do it over a sword and it was part of getting ready for war. Like that was
right.
So I don't know if that happens in Irish dance too, but it's neat. Like,
not as much, but there are traditional, like what I was especially into was the group dancings or they call it Cayley. And there would be a four hand or an eight hand where four people or eight people danced. And we actually competed in the Southeast region and things like that. So, but they're traditional Irish dances that are choreographed and we would learn them and you compete them and you're judged against others doing the same dances. So yeah, there is a tradition to it. Mm-hmm.
Very neat. Very neat. The other, last thing I want to say is a book club. I would think this has got to be such a cool, both books. I know Nancy, we got to swap. It's time.
Yeah, I know. I'm almost there.
Well, yeah, it's funny because somebody, when I wrote The Cottage on Loch Key, that was my first book, someone asked me, do you have a list of book club questions? And so I made sure on my second book that I included some in the back of the book in case you did want to do a book club. There's some ideas. You don't have to certainly adhere to those. But I was like, well, then I've got a list of questions for people who want to bring it to a book club. Because what I like about it, like you said, they're a fast read. You're not spending like, you know, it's not War and Peace, you know what I mean? So it goes rather quickly. And if you're in a book club, that makes it easy, right? You know?
Yeah, but that could be, you know, when you read a book that is fast, it's really hard. That's a talent. Don't you think, Nance, to get that where people are, it is a page turner. You know, it's not like some things are heavy and good, but there's that to get a fast pace. I think people need that kind of like enjoyable read that you still feel some inspiration to move forward in life. So I think that's a good thing. And I think, though, having a book club is fun. With now with everybody doing Zooms, do you see yourself doing that? Like doing like a Zoom book club where you can connect with people and kind of have those discussions?
Yeah, you know, in fact, early on I did do a couple. I did because one of the things I love doing is doing book readings. I had one last like November, full and well received, and I was scheduling others. And then when the virus came and everything got canceled, I started doing a few online, and I would do some Facebook Lives where people, you know, and I would just read a bit and just spend some time. It was fun, but I think the Zoom might even be better because you can at least interact. When you're on a Facebook Live, you see people are watching, but you can't talk back and forth unless you're typing, you know? So, but it's definitely a possibility as this persists. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I know, right? I know. Well, it has been a real pleasure having you on the show, and everyone again. Good gifts. I think any woman will enjoy this. Young girls will enjoy this. Reading this. People who love to travel will enjoy reading them. So go to the website again.
And that's a funny story. A friend of mine, when I found out that her teenage daughter had read my first book and loved it, I would keep that in mind as I was writing. So there's romance, but it's not at all steamy. If you know what I'm saying, it was like young teens can read it. And yes. But I would be typing a scene and thinking of her daughter. I was like, oh, I don't know.
I don't know. To write like love scenes has got to be so difficult. I don't know. I don't know. I'd probably laugh. I'd be like sitting there laughing out loud and like, okay. And then he did this and it'd be like, ooh, because I have to put something like quirky in there. I don't know.
What I like to leave to the imagination, you know?
Yeah, that's the creation part. Well, we were talking about being able to read and escape in a book and being part of that process as a reader. But at the same time, would you like to see this be like a TV series or Netflix or Hulu or whatever, or something, like a movie or a series?
I would love that because I if Lifetime or Hallmark or somebody called me tomorrow,
Hallmark,
I'd be so thrilled.
Lifetime, they're always killing someone. Let's not.
Yeah, that's true, right? It doesn't always end well there, But definitely something like, because like you say, it's an escape. And I think I put it in the front of my first book. I put because the world can always use another love story, right?
There it is. Hey, I think the world could use a lot of love right now. Just to say that.
Yes, for sure. Indeed.
my gosh. All right. So everyone, again, Anna Marie Jehorek, and it's J-E-H-O-R-E-K. Marie Jehorek. So go get, and also on Amazon, and also keep up with her travels. Go to pullovereandletmeout.com, and then you're on Facebook, Twitter, and I followed you on Twitter this morning. I got to go connect on Facebook because they let me back on. I have to start all over again, but I'm back. I'm back, babies. I'm back.
Awesome.
So, Facebook, so you're Anna Marie Wright on Facebook, Anna Marie Wright on Twitter. Are you on Instagram?
I am. It's Anna Marie _ pull over and let me out.
Let her out. Are we there yet?
So much to say. Are we there yet? Pull over and let me out.
I love it. Well, listen, have a wonderful holiday season, and thanks so much
for
joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was so much fun. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You take care. Well, now we got to close with that same Irish music. I just like this piece of this little music clip. I dig it. We're going to do it again.
Cool. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.